Good morning. Great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. There are a couple of things I still want to kind of remind you that in that corner there, there are some cards for you to write, and all the district assembly stuff, all the schedules and everything is there. Our district assembly and convention starts and on April 23rd, that is Wednesday, and then Thursday and assembly, district assembly is on 25th. So for some of you, I'm probably speaking French language. You must be wondering, what is this district assembly? And what am I talking about? So what that is every year, the representative from all our Alaska churches come together and fellowship together and make certain decisions. And you know, a Church of the Nazarene, which is the part of you know, the church we belong to, we have churches in 165 countries. So if you travel to some country somewhere amongst those, you will always find a Nazarene church there, and you will always have friends there. And so not from the whole world the representatives are coming, but only from Alaska, you know, churches. So there will be a missions convention there, and there is a discipleship convention there, and it is a lot of fun, and there are some good speakers who come, and the schedule is there. Evening services are amazing. So you know, some of the delegates are going from our church, and you don't have to be delegates to kind of go there and enjoy the services there in the evening. So go and make yourself, find yourself. There is an address of Jewel Lake Church written there. And so you're all welcome to kind of come. And then on Friday, there's a district assembly and where the representatives come and do the business and all that kind of thing, and some good services in the evening as well. So I just want to encourage you to come there. And so also there are cards there. Our district superintendent is retiring this year, so we want to say thank you to him. And if you have known him, just write a card for him. We will, you know, get those cards to him on that day. And so the cards are there. All you have to do is write that card, say thank you to him, put it in the basket, and we'll just take it to him. So just make sure that you do that. Many of you known him. So let's turn our attention to the Word of God. I think it's a good thing to kind of do that, right? There are some announcements that we still need to make, but you know, what it is what it is. And I had a dream last night that I'm trying to find out Matthew chapter 21 and read the story, and I'm just struggling to find that thing. And I'm saying, how come I cannot find Matthew chapter 21? And it's an amazing story. And we want to read that today because we are kind of observing, celebrating. It's a good thing to celebrate, though on the surface it looks like it is the journey towards the cross, the journey towards death, but it is positive journey of Jesus. So we want to kind of reflect upon this passage today, Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. And let's read that together. Let's get into the story. And as we get into the story, and when I say it is a story, that does not mean it is an imaginary story. The story is, it is the true story, because these places exist. This road still exists. And there are places still exist, but nevertheless, let's read this. You know, Jesus comes to Jerusalem as a king. And it says that as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the tree and spread them on the road. The crowd that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowd answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." And they did not know better that he is the Son of God, God himself. And they were just kind of limited in their answer that, hey, this is just a prophet from Nazareth. And there are lots of hopes in him that he's going to change the whole political system that was there, and the oppressive political Roman Empire that he's going to just kind of push against them and bring freedom, political freedom in that region. That was their hope, and that is what they were hoping for. But today, as we kind of take journey towards this journey which is Jesus is taking to enter Jerusalem, my hope is that we'll get into this story and walk along with Jesus in this journey and learn some of the things from it, which applies to us, what happened 2,000 years ago, that applies to us in our life today. And so we have been kind of walking with Jesus these days, trying to understand some of his characteristics, some of his habits. And during this Lent season, as he's taking the journey towards the cross to die, that is why we celebrate Good Friday and the Resurrection Day. We call it Easter Sunday, and that is where we are heading towards. And along the way, we are really trying to find out few things which Jesus did and we should really adopt in our life. So we talked about temptation. If you know, Jesus went through temptation and he fought the temptation very successfully through the Word of God. And that's the reason we should be reading the Word of God constantly in our life. We talked about Jesus's humility and servant heart and why we should be serving others. And we talked about Jesus's, the solitude and praying in a solitude, in a quiet place, and how he connected God the Father. And it is important for our life to kind of practice that solitude sometimes in our life. And then, you know, the need for confession of our you know, whatever we are doing wrong in our life, it is important to confess that to God on a regular basis. And today we are celebrating Palm Sunday, and we just read the story of Jesus is taking this journey on this road to Jerusalem. And I would like to call that a street of Palm Sunday, so to speak. As we walk with the Savior, we want to learn a few things, what happened there. So story is this, as we read, and I just want to kind of summarize this a little bit. And the story is this, and Jesus has done many miracles. He's popular. He has resurrected Lazarus from the death, not that long ago, and he's making his way to Jerusalem. He has healed people. He has, let the blind see and the lame walk, and he fed thousands of people where there was no food available there. He multiplied that food and so on and so. So many miracles were done, and people experienced those miracles, with their own eyes. They were seeing that. And they just, were mesmerized by Jesus, the kind of things that he is doing. And they really thought that he is the hope for them, in a sense that he will change the political, you know, landscape of that place and the oppressive political system of the Romans, he is going to break through that and bring freedom to people. And so that is what many of them were hoping, that he will be our new king and so on and so forth. And so people are following him. And as he is making his way to celebrate Passover in Jerusalem, people are, you know, shouting all power to Jesus, and they are shouting Hosanna, meaning Jesus, save us. I mean, the words were right, but their intentions were save us from this political oppression. You know, let's look at this road where Jesus is walking, traveling, and let's walk on that road and learn a few things for our life as all these kinds of things are going on this road as he's heading towards the place called Jerusalem. And so, you know, one thing about that is he had traveled so many times on that road to Jerusalem. It was a very familiar road and a familiar traveling path for him. You know, the disciples traveled so many times back and forth on that road of to the Jerusalem. And, you know, they on the Palm Sunday, though, it was a road to Jerusalem. It was a different scenario. You know, people, crowd had gathered, and they knew that they had reached the town of Bethany, and they soon is, you know, as you come from town of Bethany and where they find themselves to go to Jerusalem, and they would come from the Bethany and travel a little bit, and there was a mountain there, and as they take a turn from there, all of a sudden they will see the city of Jerusalem from that height there. And they were familiar of that city's kind of a sight there. The beautiful temple was there, and in the afternoon, sun is shining, and the sun's glittering, you know, the temple is glittering, and it's a beautiful, beautiful sight as disciples and Jesus kind of comes, and they come around the Mount of Olives, and they see the city, and they travel this way with Jesus way many times before. So it was very familiar road for them. And then, but the different thing this time around is there is a crowd, and the millions of people were swelling in the city to come together to kind of celebrate the Passover, you know, the celebration. And so it was a familiar road for disciples. Not only for that, of course, it was a familiar road for Jesus as well. And he had traveled before. And I just want to kind of remind you a little bit of some of the things that he had done when he was a young child, where, remember, Mary and Joseph took them to Jerusalem. And they found him lost in the crowd. And when they were looking for Jesus, he found himself in the temple, you know, talking with the Pharisees and the experts of the law about the deep things about the Torah and about what God has written. And they were mesmerized that this small kid, it had so much wisdom to talk with these experts of the law. And so that was the same road that they had walked through, Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And it was a very, you know, there were lots of memories there, and he knew that. But today he was riding on a donkey going towards Jerusalem. And it was that day, it was a little bit different. But a little bit historical context I want to give you, just to kind of understand what this road was all about and some of the things about Jerusalem. You know, they remember the great history of all this city of Jerusalem, how King David first acquired the land to build the temple there. You know, and then King Solomon built a beautiful temple there, which was standing. And then, you know, there were 70 years of ruin. Nothing happened in captivity. And it was just sitting there, just in ruins for 70 years. And then all of a sudden, Nehemiah comes and rebuilds the fences and you know, just makes it nice. And so that is the kind of a history, real in a nutshell, about the temple that they were looking at from this road to Jerusalem. And the road itself was known and loved by many people. And on this Palm Sunday was completely different scenario. The road would not change. The road was the same, but the journey that was being taken was very different. It was a very different journey. And, you know, there are a few things were different. And we want to talk about those different things, why this journey was different. First of all, today, there was a donkey or colt that was involved. And they, you know, as they were taking the journey, you know, they found a colt which was tied up and, you know, and it was brought. And today, there was a multitude of people surrounding the journey which Jesus was taking. And they were, you know, Jesus instructed his disciples to go ahead and untie that colt and bring it to him so that he can ride that. And people are saying, blessed is the who comes in the name of the Lord. And people are just shouting, and it's a, you know, it's kind of an environment. It's kind of a, you know, the whole celebration is kind of going on. And the road was familiar, but the journey was very different. The road did not change, but the journey was very specific. The disciples knew the road, Jesus, you know, the disciples knew the road, but Jesus kind of could look forward and was kind of thinking about the journey he was taking. He knew what laid ahead as he was going into the Jerusalem. Many times he had gone to Jerusalem, but this time it was very, very different. You will, and he says, of course, the colt was there. And the Lord has, you know, the Lord, which is Jesus Christ, is riding that colt. And, you know, he had never, you know, have you ever ridden a colt or donkey? Anybody here has ridden a donkey? You have? You have a donkey? Not the horse, but the donkey. But you will know the donkeys are more stubborn than the horse. Right? I have never done that. And they are very notorious. And you know, there's something called unbroken. You know, the donkey which has not been ridden before, it is a challenge, isn't it, Liz? That you have to break into, like how you break into the shoes, you have to break into riding a brand new donkey. And Jesus is asking to ride this brand new donkey. And just imagine, just picture the scene around that. And there is a lot of crowd. They're shouting, and there is a, you know, there is a chaos there. And Jesus says, I'm going to ride this unbroken donkey. And he sits on that, and he wants to ride that. Just imagine, Liz, what will happen? It'll be probably chaos there. But the gospel writer Mark records the important facts about that. And let's read Mark chapter 11, verse 2, and it says, this animal had never been ridden, and it wasn't ever used. And it was probably, that's a, and now this is a line from the Old Testament law that is being fulfilled, that Jesus will come and ride the unused donkey, and God is going to do that. And the purpose was to be new, never used for labor. And so the idea was the Lord was only going to use the brand new things to be used for his purpose. And so that's the reason he asked for the brand new colt, baby donkey, so to speak, so that he can use that for a very special purpose. And you know, he accepts that and he writes that for an extremely important purpose. And the idea is this, that, you know, God only uses the unused things, which are brand new things, for his
purpose. You know, that was according to the Old Testament. And that is still true, that he wants unused things. He doesn't want something which is afterthought offering. The afterthought thing, half-hearted thing, and those kinds of things. You know, it relates to the offering that we offer to God has to be proper. You know, note, well, that is, if we really want to put something to the Lord's use, it has to be proper. You know, it reminds us the little thing, like donkey, small thing, but has to be not used, not leftover offering. You know, it's really talking about the attitude of our heart. And so for today, as we think about this, it is really about how we offer things to God. And so it is for all of us, including myself. What is it that we offer to God? And do we offer to God what is extra remaining in our life? And we say to him, man, I have used everything. First, our attitude in our life generally is, whatever is there, it is for me to be used. It is for my family to be used. And if anything left over, God, I will just kind of, and I'm not talking about money, but I'm just talking about everything that we offer to God. God, I just want to kind of give it to you leftovers. And, you know, you're the last one that I want to give these things to you. And because I just have to give, because everybody talks about that. And so that is what I want to give it to you. And it is a very, really rotten attitude that we have in offering the offering to God. You know, that includes our life. That includes everything that we give to God. That is what we like to sometimes do. But God is saying to us, give the first thing. What happens to you in your life, that offer it to you. He doesn't say, I'm going to just snatch it from you. He wants us to be in the place, in that heart, in that place that we ourselves make the decision of our life to kind of offer that thing to him, so that those things are used for the glory of God and not just the leftover. You know, now you may say that, man, I knew this. That's why I don't want to offer myself to God, my life to God. You know why, Pastor? You're so right. Because I've been so bad. I have just done so many things wrong in my life, and I have done the sins in my life, and I have said so many bad things to people and done so many bad things. And as you have said now, and now it makes sense that only God needs new things, only God needs proper things, and I am very far from being proper. I am being very far from being, you know, to be used by God. And that's the reason I have saved myself, and I don't want to do anything with God, because God is unable to use us. Here is the thing, my friends. The thing is this, that God uses things which are offered to him. When we offer ourselves to God, doesn't matter how ruined we are within ourselves, how, you know, broken we are within ourselves, God makes those things brand new within ourselves. He takes our life, and when we commit our life to him as we are, as broken, as used, as tarnished as we are in our life, we have done so many bad things or whatever it may be, he takes it. And he makes it complete, our life, and he makes it as new, as newborn, as this colt, or even better, that he makes us worthy to be used by God in his will. So, you know, today as we read this, as we kind of contemplate on this colt being used by God, it is as we offer ourselves to be used by God, He will transform our lives. He will make it new. He will make our life pure to be worthy to be used by God. What an amazing thing it is. And only God can do that. You know, continue to the story a little bit. We will look into this. And the disciple went and found the donkey, and they gave the donkey to him, and he rode the donkey, and people started to shout, "Hosanna, Hosanna," to the Lord, and you know, to him who comes from the Lord. And as you may know, some of you, what does Hosanna means? Hosanna means, "Jesus, save us." You know, they were saying Hosanna to him. What that means is, save us from this. And they're praying out to God that, "God, please save us as we offer ourselves to you." And their intention was, save us from this oppressive Roman Empire. But Jesus was taking that journey to really save not only that crowd, but all of us. And he was going to die on the cross. And he could see that place where that cross is there, and he is going to suffer for all of us and going to save from all the oppression and depression and the guilt that we have in our life, that we can just give it to him and he is going to save us. He also sees that the same people are saying right now, "Save us, O God, Hosanna to you," and they are celebrating, and he sees that the same people are going to come against him and say, "Crucify him, crucify him." In a sense, their prayer is answered. By crucifixion, people are going to be saved. So he's answering their question really by taking that journey towards the cross and saying, "Yes, Hosanna, Hosanna, I'm going to save you by dying on the cross." As you will in a little bit shout that, "Crucify, kill this king," and he will be killed, and he will rise again on the third day, and he will be saved. We all will be saved through that. You know, there is a special, and it's a different journey in that sense. You know, let me say this thing. You know, we know the road in our life many times. We live our lives. We do the things every day. We go to work. We do the regular things. And most of us have the rhythm to our life. Familiar things we do every day. And many times we know exactly what to do. This is what happens to me. I have certain streets or roads that I travel, and I just drive my car. And many times I arrive at the church, and I don't know how I have arrived because I have taken that road many times. And when did I arrive? But sometimes what happens, I have to be somewhere else, and I find myself in the church parking lot. Oh, what am I doing here? I have a meeting somewhere else. So really quickly, I have to recalculate my thing on my GPS, recalculating your path, and then find yourself there. So what I'm trying to say is, we are so familiar about our rhythm and our paths and our roads and things like that. And what happens is, we think that we know our lives. We know what things needs to be done. And we take the journey, but here is the thing. We may know the road, the routine of our lives, but Jesus knows the journey that needs to happen in our lives. And let me repeat that. We may know the road and the routines, but Jesus knows the journey that needs to happen in our lives. And what I mean by this is, it is the journey into our heart. Jesus wants to do different things in our lives. And many times we are unaware of those things. There are things on a daily basis. There are things next month or this year or the next year. There are special things that Jesus wants to do in our lives. And here is the bottom line. If you have not heard anything, let me say this thing to you today. And let's take a pause. Let's take a breather. Here is our life. And we know the routine. And unless we surrender our life to Jesus, we will never know the journey that needs to happen in our life. And the reason I say this is because the life that we have today is a gift to us from our Creator, who is Jesus Christ. He has given us the life. He has the purpose for each and every one of us, including myself, including all of us. And we can take that road thousands of times and hundreds of times in our life and do the things that we are doing. And we will keep doing and keep doing till the time of our death. And the life will keep going on and keep going on. And we will earn the paycheck. We'll have a good life and the family and all that thing will keep happening and happening and happening. The life is going on. That is the familiar road. But unless we connect with God and we surrender our life to God, those special the moments of journey will not happen in our life because we are unaware of what God wants to do in our life. So to take that special journey in our life, the exciting things in our life which God has restored for us in our life, the miracles God will do in our life, the exciting things He will do, there will come the time of deep valleys in our life, the difficult times in our lives. And in those times and in the high times and in every time, we need Jesus with us, so that we can experience the journey into our life. We can celebrate those moments with God, and we have an understanding why God is doing those things in our lives. When we are in the deep valley, we understand why we are there and how God is ministering to our hearts and our life and our family into our lives. That can only happen when we have a relationship with God. And so the question is here. There are two things. And I want to paint that picture very clearly. And I hope you're listening today. You can live your life, just amazing life probably, but it is empty. There is no journey into that life. It is a mundane thing that you're doing. You know the road. You know the things that needs to happen. You probably know how to climb the ladder or do well in the school or, you know, run your business well. And that is all good. But there is no presence of God in your life. And so because of that, the journey is not happening. What the special thing God is trying to do in your life, that is totally absent. On the other hand, you know the road, and you have a relationship with God, and God is speaking to you, and you are taking that meaningful journey, which, you know, first Jesus took to the cross, and He rose again, and that changed everything. So today, as we sit here and reflect upon Jesus' journey, let's ask the question, God, some of the times have I left that journey with You. I don't want to find myself without You to the place that I have figured out my life, but I'm without You. It is dry. It is empty. And I'm missing out on so many blessings, so many things that You are trying to do in my life with Your presence. And so today, I just want to challenge you, all of us, that evaluate our life and ask the question, am I taking this journey with God himself. Because without that, it is just the travel. It is not a journey. So let this word of God be active in your life. Read the word of God, what the story that we have read today, and keep asking the question. Oh God, I want to take a journey with you. Let's bow our heads today. Give thanks to God. Father in heaven, we praise you. We give you thanks, oh God. Thank you, Jesus, for taking that journey to Jerusalem. And in a few days, you're going to go and find yourself on the cross. You knew where you were heading towards. A very meaningful event, a death on the cross. And oh Father, thank you for your resurrection as well. And many times when it applies to our life, many times we take that path in our life. Those paths are very familiar to us. But many times we miss the point. The very important things that needs to happen in our life, we miss out on those things because we have not given ourselves to you. And the way we give ourselves to you, we need to give ourselves completely to you, not half-hearted, so that you can transform our life. You can make our life brand new so that you can use it for your glory and you can pour joy into our life. You can pour meaning into our life. You can pour purpose into our life, oh God. And that is the exciting life we want to live. So life with Jesus is not boring. It is exciting. It is filled with purpose. It is filled with a lot of meaningfulness. And that is the life we want to live, oh Father God. So have your way, oh Father, in our life. Thank you, Jesus, for the journey that you have taken. And we want to come along on that journey with you, oh Father. Thank you, God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Let's stand today as we close our service in song.